Your containers are stalling for 30 seconds during deployments, health checks are timing out, and your first instinct is to blame Kubernetes. You're listening to Exploring Next, episode 220. I'm Izo, and today Boone and I are diving into Netflix's discovery that container scaling bottlenecks can hide deep in your CPU architecture and Linux kernel.
This is one of those performance mysteries that makes you question everything you thought you knew about containerization.
Right? Because this isn't some edge case academic problem. Netflix is running production workloads that suddenly started choking when they scaled up container density.
And the culprit wasn't Docker or Kubernetes. It was the Linux kernel's virtual file system getting hammered by thousands of mount operations, all fighting for the same global lock.
Okay, break that down for me, Boone. What's actually happening when a container starts up that creates this mount storm?
So every container image is built from layers, right? When Containerd spins up a container, it has to map user namespaces for each of those layers using bind mounts. We're talking dozens of mount and unmount syscalls per container.
And Netflix was seeing bursts of hundreds of containers starting simultaneously.
Exactly. They measured over 20,000 mount syscalls during large bursts. Every single one of those operations needs to grab the kernel's global mount lock in the VFS layer.
That's a classic concurrency nightmare. But here's what blew my mind. The same workload performed completely differently depending on the underlying hardware.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting. On older dual-socket AWS R5.metal instances with multiple NUMA domains, the lock contention was brutal. But single-socket instances like M7i.metal scaled much more smoothly.
Wait, so the CPU architecture is determining how well your containers scale? That seems like something most platform teams would never think to investigate.
Right. NUMA topology matters because when threads on different sockets compete for the same lock, you get remote memory access penalties. Plus, hyperthreading was actually making it worse by adding more competing threads.
Netflix found that disabling hyperthreading improved latency by 30% in some configs. That's a huge win for just flipping a BIOS setting.
But the real solution was algorithmic. They redesigned how overlay file systems get built to drop the mount operations from ON, linear in the number of layers, down to O1 per container.
How'd they pull that off?
By grouping layer mounts under a common parent instead of creating separate mount points for each layer. Suddenly, the kernel's mount table isn't exploding in size and the lock contention disappears.
That's brilliant because it works on existing kernels. They also looked at newer kernel mount APIs that use file descriptors to avoid global locks entirely, but chose the file system approach for broader compatibility.
Smart product decision there, Izzo. Why force infrastructure teams to upgrade kernels when you can solve it in user space?
Exactly. And they're combining it with hardware-aware scheduling, routing demanding workloads towards CPU architectures that handle global locks more gracefully.
This whole case study is a perfect example of why performance engineering requires thinking across the entire stack. You can't optimize containers without understanding the kernel, and you can't optimize the kernel without understanding the hardware.
From a product perspective, this is huge for anyone running high-density container workloads. Platform teams need to start thinking about CPU architecture as a first-class scaling consideration, not just core count and memory.
And the observability angle is crucial. Netflix used eBPF and perf to trace these kernel stalls. Without deep system visibility, you'd never connect container startup delays to VFS lock contention.
I'm giving this investigation an A-. They found the root cause, built a practical solution, and shared the methodology with the community.
Only an A-. What's the minus for?
They should have caught this earlier with better kernel-level monitoring, but honestly, who's watching mount syscall rates in production?
Fair point. I'm definitely adding VFS lock monitoring to my weekend project list.
So what should listeners go build next? First, audit your container images. How many layers are you actually shipping? Tools like Dive can show you the layer breakdown. Second, set up eBPF tracing for mount operations if you're running high-density workloads. The BCC Tools package has scripts for tracking file system syscalls and lock contention. And third, benchmark your container startup times across different instance families. Netflix's findings suggest single-socket instate